Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The Lewis and Clark expedition changed America and this nation's perception of itself. We know about the expedition, but less about the impact the two men had when they returned. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, our housing market. How well is it recovering from the recession? What do home buyers and sellers need to know as the spring home buying season picks up steam? Joining me to talk about that is Realty Executives of St. Louis realtor Alan Brake. He is also, by the way, featured in the program My First Home that will be shown on TLC this Saturday. Joining us by phone from San Diego is Brock McLean, Executive Vice President of Homes.com, an online home search service. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Nice that you could take the time. I know this gets to be a busy season.
Absolutely.
For you, and a lot of people are thinking about making that move. Brock, let me begin with you. Can you give me kind of a national overview of what the housing market is like these days?
Yeah, fortunately, we seem to have some continued good news. At Homes.com, along with being a resource for real estate search, we also produce a local market index, which gives us a kind of a good idea of what's happening with housing pricing across the country, but also on a very localized basis, which from a consumer perspective is often what we're interested in. And what it's really telling us is you know, some high points here, and that is that the housing market continues to be strong. From a local standpoint, about a third of the markets across the country have rebounded to their highs from the sort of the 2007-2008 timeframe. And there's many factors that sort of go into that. And, you know, some of them didn't have near the depression that some others did. So some markets that were harder hit, like the West Coast, Florida, Northeast, while they've been slower to rebound, they're kind of gaining more rapidly on a month-to-month basis. The other good news is that in a challenging winter that much of the country has faced, a lot of the gains that we've seen over the past 12 months have solidified and are continuing to grow from there. So from an overall national perspective, we've got a strong housing market that's solidified the gains and is continuing to move in the right direction.
Is there any reason to believe that this won't be sustained, that we're not poised for perhaps another bubble?
Well, there's some challenges certainly in sustaining it, and they revolve around things like inventory shortages in a lot of markets. I know specifically in St. Louis, you've got a situation where inventory's continuing to decrease, and the time of on market for homes continues to decrease as well. So that may slow the growth. A lot of the experts anticipate that we may see somewhere around a 4-5% gain over 2014. That's on the heels of double digit national growth in pricing in 2013. So certainly a slower period. And I think a change in the buyer profile. A lot of the growth in the housing market was fueled by the investor community buying up portfolios of homes to turn them into rentals to meet the rental demand that we see happening across the country and continuing to happen. But as prices have increased, I think that segment of the buyer population has begun to slow. And we're seeing consumers try to take advantage of still some favorable interest rates and some easing of some lending restrictions and get into the market, but certainly probably a little slower anticipated this year than what we saw last.
All right, let's turn to Alan Brake now and get some further sense of the local picture. I think I mispronounced the name of your company a moment ago.
Realty Executives.
Realty, not Reality. I guess I'm thinking about that reality TV show that's coming on this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Whatever, I'm sorry for misidentifying
no problem.
You. Give us your perception of what's going on here.
Well, I think we're seeing some of the most educated consumers we've ever, well, at least in my 11-year history, that we've seen in St. Louis. The resources available online are amazing. Places like Homes.com, Zillow, et cetera. The buyers can really do a lot of research on mortgage lenders, realtors, and about different areas of St. Louis. As well, I think we're seeing, depending upon the areas of St. Louis you're talking about, whether it's school district, that there are certain areas that are definitely getting more attention, and you have to watch the market very, very closely because of the inventory being low. You're seeing multiple offer situations.
What are you finding in terms of customers, buyers, if you will? Are they at all skittish after what we've gone through?
Well, absolutely. And I think a lot of it depends upon the buyer that's available. there's a lot stricter lending guidelines here that we have now. So, you know, they've found it tougher to find good loan to value and good programs available for them.
And Brock, from your perspective, is that an issue?
Yeah, I would agree with Alan. I mean, we've got you know, a lot of interest in the housing market. You know, for a long period of time, when we saw some real depression in the housing market, the renter group grew extensively. In fact, we had more people searching for rentals on homes.com than we did buyers. But we've seen that kind of come back to where we've got about 50% you know, in each category from a search standpoint. So I think there's certainly some interest in getting back into the housing market, probably some trepidation as to, boy, did I miss the window? You know, have prices escalated to a point where I can't get in? You know, as Alan mentioned, we've got some multiple offer situations, and then lending, you know, being still difficult. So I think there's some apprehension, but certainly some keen interest to get in the market while there's still opportunity, especially in places like St. Louis, where while there's been a strong rebound, there's still some room from, you know, from where the highs were, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Why is the lending part of the process so difficult now? Alan, can you tell me?
Well, the different programs that are available have made it a lot tougher. You have to have very good credit scores in order to get good interest rates. And that goes along with your loan to value as well. So people that wanted to buy a $200,000 house, say, can't afford that now. So now they're looking at a $150,000 house or whatever it may be, so that maybe they can't find what they want.
This is a direct result of the previous problem where people were able to buy just
exactly
100% anything they wanted.
Yeah, and those are all those programs are gone for the most part.
Well, that does make it difficult. And the rates, what is a typical rate in our area now for a loan?
We're looking at about 4.5% right now, which is still really low historically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's a great that's a great spot to be in for buyers today, and they can get a great deal on a loan right now still.
What kind of hoops do they have to jump through for it?
To obtain a loan?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to get bank statements, pay stubs, W-2s, and then as well you want to talk to different mortgage lenders and find out, you know, some people might be offering higher rates, which could significantly change your payments over the course of a 30-year mortgage.
Brock, this is actually a good thing, I suspect, given what we have gone through, that it has tightened up to this degree.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, hopefully we're building a better foundation for the housing recovery that we've seen, you know, versus what fueled it the last time. So, you know, I think some sounder fundamentals, some better restrictions, especially in the lending front, it was producing hopefully a more stable kind of housing market and growth built on sound fundamentals is I think what we're seeing. And as I say, I think we've also got a large sort of pent-up population that's been in the renter market that is now also trying to come back into the market, which is further solidifying the growth we're seeing across the country.
That is something I think everybody has noticed, and Alan, I'm sure you're noticing it here in St. Louis, that the trend of recent years toward renting.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes along with the guidelines as well, and that's why a lot of people have gone that route. They're afraid of purchasing. I mean, they see people selling their home and owing thousands of dollars or foreclosures, short sales. So that scared some people off, I think.
A lot of people are rethinking that whole thing in terms of, you know, renting is not such a bad idea. You lose the equity, no question about that, but there is safety in that particular route.
Well, and you have so many expensive items on a home between roof, windows, paint, everything. And that aspect of it, a renter doesn't have to worry about any of it. Mm-hmm. So they know on a monthly basis what they're going to have to spend. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a homeowner, you never know.
Brock, with regard to new home construction, what are you seeing there? How is that reflecting the marketplace?
You know, and it's certainly varied across the country. You know, for a long period of time, there was, you know, the new home construction was fairly dormant. I will tell you specifically in the West Coast, that was definitely the case. Both in new home construction as well as multifamily apartment construction, there was really a kind of a slowdown there. We're definitely seeing a move back towards new housing construction. We see it with on homes.com with advertisers that are builders across the country trying to sort of capture that demand of people looking to buy homes and a shortage of pre-owned inventory, trying to capitalize on that. So I think there's certainly an uptick in construction, which was certainly needed after a number of years being fairly dormant.
We're talking about new homes now. What about what about rental properties, apartment buildings?
Yeah, that's also an area where we're seeing an uptick. Our sister site is forrent.com, and we see there what was for a number of years really little to no development in much of the country, especially those areas that were hit by the housing recession. And we're seeing certainly some growth in those areas, especially I notice here in the West Coast a lot of new units coming out of the ground. Middle of the country has always continued to be strong, which also reflects some of the markets that have been strong in the recovery, places like Texas as an example. So we are finally seeing some units come out of the ground, but the demand for rentals is certainly there. And I think along with the demand there, we've also got a population and a generation that views renting not as always an option that is strictly economic-based, but something that they want from a flexibility standpoint, the ability to be transient or capture opportunities that may be in other parts of the country in the job market. So it's become a lifestyle as much as a reality from an economic situation.
Sure. Alan Brake, what you're seeing here locally with regard to new construction and apartment building or rental property construction?
Well, the new construction, you definitely see building permits are up, and I would agree with the fact that our inventory is low for the pre-owned home, so people are going that route, and not only that, you get to customize exactly what you want, which is a really nice facet of it. So you're definitely seeing a lot more new construction going right now.
Buyer's market or seller's market right now?
I would call it a seller's market right now. With the multiple offer situations, you've seen people, in my opinion, overpaying for some properties.
Brock, same thing.
Yeah, I would say too. Seller market. We see from a traffic standpoint, people searching for homes on homes.com. The growth in the for sale category of activity and visitors, and the fact that listings are not escalating at that greater level, and even listings of things like foreclosure homes are decreasing by significant amounts year over year. So if I'm a seller right now, I can certainly wait for the kind of price that I'm looking for.
We're talking about the housing market nationally and locally. My guests are Alan Brake. He is in studio. He is of Realty Executive St. Louis. By phone, joining us from San Diego, is Brock McLean, Executive Vice President of Homes.com. We'd love to get your input, folks. If you're interested in getting into the market, tell us your story. Tell us what your concerns are. What do you think you need to know before jumping into today's housing market? So, 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Send us a tweet if you like at STL On Air. Back with our guests, Alan and Brock, in just a moment. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the housing market nationally and locally in just a moment with guests Alan Brake of Realty Executive St. Louis and Brock McLean, Executive Vice President of Homes.com. But before we continue, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Missouri lawmakers gave final approval today to the first comprehensive overhaul of the state's criminal laws in several decades. St. Louis Police Chief Sam Dotson and other members of the police department appeared before the Board of Aldermen's Public Safety Committee today. They answered questions about the city's crime rate. Incidents of violent crime are down, but homicides and aggravated assaults are up. And this weekend, area police departments, drugstores, and other sites will collect unwanted prescription drugs as part of a nationwide take-back program. The goal is to get potentially addictive medications out of people's homes. You can hear more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about the housing market. I'm going to go right to the phones and bring in Sandra calling from Bridgeton. Sandra, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering about places like Florissant, where it was hit a lot by foreclosures. We have a house that still hasn't crawled back out. We didn't get foreclosed on, and yet we were unfairly, our value was, degraded because of how many foreclosures there were. I'm not seeing the prices go up at all.
Sandra, thanks for the call. I'm going to throw that to Alan because he's the local guy.
Of course. A lot of it depends upon the areas that you're talking about. And also, I would probably consult a professional. Talk to a realtor and let them assess your property. Maybe it's gone up more than you think. But as well, there are certain parts of St. Louis that still has a foreclosures coming up, and the values haven't risen as much as we'd like to see.
And, Brock, you have any experience with that in other parts of the country? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly been rebound in areas of growth, but definitely some markets that have been slower to rebound. And even as you look at zip codes across even a certain county, you'll see a dramatic difference often in the rebound percentage. So it isn't surprising to know that there are still pockets that are struggling with finding their way back. But I agree with Alan too that we kind of look at it on a statistical basis, but gaining the insight from an expert in that area as to really what's happening, what the values are doing, I think is a great way to go.
What's the hottest spot in the country today for sales?
Well, the hottest spot from a month-to-month growth standpoint happens in the West Coast today, and I think that's because you saw also some significant drops over the last 5 years. So month-to-month, they're gaining significantly, places like Los Angeles, San Diego, even all the way out to Honolulu is another hot market. So you're seeing kind of big growth on a month-to-month basis. But the center of the country is really where you've seen the sort of the greatest rebound and stability. And partly that's because they didn't fall as far in the initial recession and have come back on sound fundamentals like things like energy-producing states, jobs, things like that. So that's probably the sustained successful rebound markets, but the biggest gains are happening in the West right now.
Hey, Alan, that's us he was just talking about.
Yeah,
right.
Isn't that nice?
When you talk about rebounding, I'm seeing something in literature associated with all of this called the rebound percentage. Mm-hmm. What exactly is that?
So the local market index at homes.com produces, sort of tracks statistically what's happened with houses from the same sale of a property dating back to 2000, and you can track to where the peaks were somewhere in the 2007-08 timeframe. So those were the peaks, and then from there, trying to measure, and then obviously the recession happened. So then trying to measure how have these properties rebounded against the highs of that timeframe, and so it allows us to kind of see what markets have found their way back to those highs, what markets are, gaining kind of on a year-over-year, month-to-month basis, and those markets, too, where maybe there's still some opportunity, where you say St. Louis is a great example, where on the whole, the St. Louis markets rebounded in the 68-69% area. I mean, on the whole, I recognize that there are some pockets that have rebounded to well over 100% and some that are still lagging. But on the whole, you can look and say, well, there's still some opportunity here to find our way back to maybe not the highs that we were once at, but if I'm a buyer looking to get into a market and trying to assess whether it's overheated or not, can give me some indication of where there still might be some opportunity.
Alan, we have a tweet here from Brian speaking of various parts of the market. This may be a little bit out of your area. He wants to know what's going on in the Wentzville, Missouri area. Do you have any idea?
Wentzville is definitely not my area of expertise, it'd be tough for me to tell you exactly what's going on there.
So we would suggest that he call a realtor out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Wentzville to try to get some. Sorry we couldn't answer that question, but we can't know everything about everything, right,
Alan? Yeah, I
wish
I could.
Let's back to the phone. Sharon in Warrenton, Missouri. Go ahead.
Hi. Recently my daughter, she's getting pre-approved for a loan, and she has excellent credit. No debt, and we've gifted her 20% down payment. But what they want from us is how the money that we gave her originated. I mean, like we cashed in stocks. Well, they want that information, and they want the information about if it went into our checking account, and we have to prove that. And they're saying it's because of the Patriot Act. Is that true? And are all lenders doing this? I mean, we're not even going to be on the title or anything. This is a gift, where you you sign the form and everything.
Sharon, thanks. Let's have Alan take a crack at that then, Brock.
Well, that comes along with the stricter lending guidelines. I've dealt with this in several cases, but yeah, they're having to go back to exactly where that money's coming from. Now, I don't know if that exactly goes back to the Patriot Act or not. You'd probably have to speak to a mortgage lender to get more information there, but I've dealt with that scenario quite often lately.
Brock, that seems like it's an overreaction to what went on 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it could be. And you know, from a Homes.com perspective, we certainly have partners that are mortgage lenders that would be able to provide some greater information. I only know just sort of anecdotally hearing, you know, stories like that. But as to, you know, why those requirements are there, you're right. I'm not sure if it's a change in policy or a reaction to some of the challenges of the past. But speaking with a qualified mortgage lender, I think, would probably be the best way to go.
Right. Let's take another call. This one from Swansea, Illinois. Jimena, go ahead. I hope I have your name pronounced correctly.
That's fine. So thank you. My name is Jimena, and this has been very informative, guys. Thank you. So my husband and I have been looking for our first home in the St. Louis area, specifically Wharton Woods, Clayton, and Ledoux are sort of our target areas. The search has been going on for 16 months now, quite frustrating, frankly. You know, we've faced what you guys have just stated recently, low inventory, competitive situations. I'd like to know, or just pick your brain and get some tips for buyers like us that have been, you know, just looking for quite a few months, longer than a year, and see if you guys have any recommendations for us. And also see if you guys think that the market is going to get a little bit, I guess, a higher inventory in those three areas that I mentioned. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call. Alan, let's have you pick up on that.
Well, first off, you need to give me a call right away. it depends. Are you being realistic with your search or not? 16 months is a very long time to be looking for a home. And 16 months ago, there was probably some really good deals out there. So number one, maybe you need to talk to a different realtor. You need to maybe look at somebody that specifically works in those areas. Then also find out, you know, are you looking to buy a $100,000 place in Ledoux? It's just not going to happen for the most part. So make sure you're being realistic there too. But do your research online. Do a lot of background research. There's great tools to utilize like the Homes.com that can help you find the right property.
Jimena, do you have a realtor? I guess maybe she's gone. But, I wonder, people doing it on their own, sometimes it really can slow the process down.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we actually, I'm sorry, I have my phone in mute, but we'd actually gone through three agents now, quite the experience, to be honest.
I would say before you start to look again, I would do some interviews. Don't just call the first person and work with them. Interview the realtors, ask them about the areas, see what kind of statistics they know. Make sure they know those locations. And you'll, if you find the right realtor, you'll be able to find the right home.
Thank you so much for the – do you have something else, Jimena?
Nope. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. Brock, how does that sound to you? 16 months, and she's talking about some choice markets as well, mm-hmm. some of the communities she's looking at.
Yeah, certainly that's a long time, and I agree with Alan that working and finding the realtor that's going to provide you the greatest insight into those markets probably makes the most sense. From an online perspective, how we may be able to help just from a search perspective on Homes.com is on the site you're able to fill out a profile and throw your criteria, the things you're looking for, into that profile and receive updates of listings and things that come onto the market new. So I think it's a nice augment to the search that certainly a local agent can provide for you, and that might be an additional resource to keep abreast of what's happening new, especially as we try to get towards some greater inventory levels.
Our time is beginning to wind down. I would like to get some tips from you guys that prospective buyers and sellers can use. What are the biggest mistakes, Brock, I'll start with you, the biggest mistakes you find that prospective buyers make?
Well, I think that being realistic about what it is that you're looking for, and having a solid plan in mind for what your search criteria is. Like I say, there's a lot of resources online at sites like homes.com to really narrow down what you're looking for, the neighborhood you're interested in, what's happening with the values, you know, historical looks at properties in the area, things like the local market index to give you an idea on trends and pricing and opportunities. So I think there's a lot of tools available to a consumer to really hone in their search, and then also working with that quality local agent that really has tremendous insight into that market is going to be valuable. So I think the combination of your own research and your comfort with what you're looking for and combined with that local market expert, I think is really an integral way to making the right choice for yourself.
Alan, I'm assuming you're going to go along with all of that. If there's anything to add, do so. But what advice do you have for sellers? What are the mistakes that they make?
Well, sellers as well, they need to interview realtors. You need to find out who has the local knowledge, make sure they know what they're talking about, that they can advertise your property correctly. There's about 7,500 realtors here. 10% of us sell the majority of the real estate. So interviewing the right realtor and finding the right person is
key. It's not something that can easily be done alone. You really do have to have professional help.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, people don't like to pay that commission, but there's a reason for it.
It's well worth it in the long run.
I'm going to take one more call because Dan just joined us from Richmond Heights. Let's see what he has to say, and then we'll have to say goodbye. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Don. Question. So a little background. About 2000, I moved to St. Louis, bought a house. It was great. Lived there with friends who paid my mortgage. 3 years later, I got married, moved into a new house, but couldn't get rid of the house because the market crashed. So now after 11 years of renters, the house is, I've had good renters, bad renters. I'm trying to sell the house. Would it be better to sell it as a rental property to a commercial guy or fix it up and try to sell it to a regular family?
You almost just explained my exact scenario, what happened to me. I ended up selling my property, but I think it depends. What do you owe now? What is it actually worth? Being a landlord can be a big headache. I mean, you're still dealing with vacancies and having to fix anything on the property that comes up. Selling as a rental property is probably going to bring down the value because those people are going to look for more wholesale opportunities. So depending upon what you mean by fix it up, that would be the better route, I would think.
Our time is up, but I want to mention once again that My First Home is showing on TLC on Saturday. Anything you want to say about that? Will people learn some of the things that we couldn't get to today?
Absolutely. It's on TLC 11:30 in the morning, and it was an absolute blast. And, it's actually not scripted whatsoever. So it's based all on a true story.
That's where I got that reality a little while ago. I want to thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us. Alan Brake of Realty Executives of St. Louis and Brock McLean, Executive Vice President of Homes.com. Coming up, Lewis and Clark remembered for their historic trek westward and for their impact when they returned. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.